Very good to be here this morning and to serve with you at Albertville First Baptist. I'm from this area. It's got Japan flag up there. That's what we want right now. But I'm from this area. Actually, I'm from Geraldine. Actually, I'm from the suburbs of Geraldine. Amen. I'm from New Harmony, that area out that way. And I grew up here. But God has led me far, far away to the most populated place on the face of the earth called Tokyo, Japan. And it's an amazing story how God led me. And I've been here one time before and been able to share with you. I don't know if you all remember or not, but 4 years ago, we were here as a family in the same capacity we're here this time. We were here, we serve usually in Japan for 4 years, and then we come back for 6 months to a year on stateside assignment, and we share at different churches, and we reconnect with folks back here. I remind my family how good the food is up on Sand Mountain. And I've been away from Sand Mountain for a while, but you might leave Sand Mountain, but it never leaves you. And now my family's got the bug. They love Sand Mountain. We live in Huntsville, but every chance that we get, we come back here. And our friends, Beth and Kevin Smith, they live just down the road in Boaz, and we stay at their house and spend a lot of weekends up here on the mountain. And so we love coming home. This is home for us. So it's good to be with you all this morning. I want to share some of our story, especially the part about how I became a missionary and why I'm a missionary and what a missionary is, all of those kinds of things. But I also want to share from God's word about the same thing. And I want to give an example of the first missionary, Abram. He was the first missionary in the Bible. And what made him a missionary? I mean, what's that distinguishing trait? What's that one thing that he did that would qualify him to be a missionary? I want to talk a little bit about that and just share with you and encourage you as you go. Miss Karen, I don't know Miss Karen, never met her, but I heard about her today. It sounds like she's about to go somewhere, and you all are sending her out. Whenever you go, there's an element of faith. There's an element of stepping out into the unknown and different things of that nature. But that's the call that God puts on our lives and just ask us to be obedient. So I want to talk about those things today. But first, I want to share a little bit about who we are. I want to introduce myself. I got connected to Outville First Baptist. See, I know how to say it. Outville. It's a... And so, I'm a native. I connected here through Chris Johnson. He's one of my dearest friends from Sanford. We went to Sanford, him and his brother Greg. And I hate to hear about what happened with his mom last night passing away. I know they were kind of expecting that, and they've been praying about it. And I saw Chris on Thursday. He came to our house up in Huntsville to pass on something to us about today. And he said he was there with his family kind of getting things ready and kind of having some difficult conversations with his brothers and their family. And so I want to take just a second to pray for him, because losing a parent and having to take care of them is really close to me. I buried both my mom and my dad, and so it's a hard thing to do. And so I just want to lift up my dear friend Chris and his family with you. Father God, we pray right now for Chris. We pray for Greg and Patrick and their family. Lord God, we lift them up to you. I pray you give them strength. I pray you give them physical strength as well as emotional and spiritual. And just be with him and give them that peace that passes all understanding. Please be with his precious daddy as they deal with the loneliness and all the things they're involved in. I just pray to be with him and know that he is loved and prayed for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris, for your friendship and ministry over the years. I really appreciate him. And I appreciate you letting me stand here today. Brother Justin, when he was introducing me, he said that your gifts and your support of the International Mission Board through the cooperative program helped support me on the field. Well, I have to make a correction. It doesn't help. It is our support on it. It pays for everything for us, our kids' salary, our everything. It pays for us to be here right now and to be serving overseas. So I am greatly thankful, deeply thankful, indebted to all of you and other Southern Baptists around the world who are making it possible for us to be over there. Thank you for being sacrificial and giving to that, and I encourage you to keep doing it. Nowadays, when I speak at our Baptist churches, sometimes I have to remind them what the International Mission Board is, because we've kind of come into a different generation. But the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention is one of the best mission sending agencies out there, and I'm very proud to be a part of it and be sent out full time through your support. And we are your missionaries. And I told Chris, I said, I love preaching in front of everybody, but I also love speaking in different Sunday schools and any kind of group you have. Anything you want us for, we're here for you. We just want to promote missions and love on your people with you. And so we may see each other again in a small group setting sometime before we go back home. But I'm so thankful. But my family, if you go to the next slide up here, this is my family. My wife, Mie, she's Japanese. I met her in Japan. We've got an interesting story about how all of that happened, but met her and got married, been married 18 years. I've been on the field in Japan for 28 years. And I said that the other day, and it hit me. I've been overseas longer than I lived in America. I've been away from Sand Mountain for 32 years. I was just, how did that happen? It seemed like overnight. But it happened, and so I spent a lot of time in Japan. I met my wife in Japan, our family. My son John's 15, my daughter Michelle, she's 12. And so we live in, go to the next slide, Tokyo, Japan. This is home. It's a bit different than Sand Mountain. Albertville Highway 431 seems crowded to me, but it's nothing compared to this. And if you go up on the 45th floor of the government building in Tokyo, and you look around, it does it 360 degrees every direction, as far as you can possibly see, all the way to the mountains, this is what you see. There's no break in it. There's no anything. It's just humanity all the way as far as the eye can see. It's overwhelming. And I take people up to that, and I show that to them so they can be overwhelmed. I want them to be overwhelmed by the massive amount of people, but I tell them, it doesn't overwhelm God. He looks at it every single day. And it doesn't make him flinch. He loves those people. And that's why he has us there. That's why he brings these volunteer teams to this country. And so it doesn't overwhelm him, but it does overwhelm us sometimes. But that's where God has us right now. But that's not where I started out. I told you I'm from the suburbs of Geraldine. The next slide will show you. This is where I'm from. That's it. Go to the next one. So it's a bit different. That's where I grew up. Down on the old High Falls Road, on this side of High Falls, not on the other side. It's been all fixed up nice. Poor family. I went to Geraldine. I was one of the poorest kids that ever went to Geraldine. There's some poor kids that go to Geraldine, but I was one of the poorest. None of my family graduated high school. My sisters, my brother, they all quit before I got older, and that was the expectation for me. None of my family went to church when I was growing up. I come from a broken home. My mom divorced when I was 2. I don't even know my real daddy. I've only met him a few times. He already passed away. And my mom remarried my stepdaddy, Grover, and that's why we moved to Geraldine, Grover Pope. We moved there when I was 10 years old. But the way that things started for me in this right here, in this, we were poor and didn't have anything, but the way it all started was when a man in a bus, a church bus, came and picked me and several other kids up for vacation Bible school. Took us to Watchman Baptist Church on Highway 75. At that time, before we moved to this house, we lived in 5. And he picked up all these rowdy kids, and I was one of them. And that's the first time I went to church, folks. And because that man gave me a chance, I'm standing in front of you right here now. And it's because somebody went. They got in a car. They got in a bus and came out and picked me up to bring me to church to give me a chance. And because of that, I'm born again. My family's saved. And I'm in Japan serving the Lord right now. So I'm so thankful for that. No one expected me to go to Japan. No one expected me to go much farther than New Harmony. And I didn't either. But God had other plans for me. So God led me all the way out from that to the next slide. Down here to all the way, and just hit it one more time there. All the way from Geraldine, Alabama to Tokyo, Japan. And go to the next slide. So that's where God led us. And go to the next slide there. And the reason is I want to give the Japanese people the same kind of chance that that man gave me. I want to drive the bus to their house and take them to church and take them to Jesus. And that's why God has me in Japan right now. It's as simple as that. And go to the next slide. And so in Japan, we start churches. That's what I've been doing all 28 years of being in Japan, is starting churches and giving people a chance to know Jesus. You know that the Japanese people are the second most least reached people group in the world? Most people don't realize that. Less than 0.5% are Christian. My kids both went to Japanese public elementary school up through the sixth grade. And of all the time that they were going in, their classes were large, probably larger than Albertville or anywhere around here. They had big classes and schools. We didn't know a single Christian family in the whole school, all 6 years, not a single Christian family. And that's the majority of people by far in Tokyo. And God took a little boy from the outskirts of Geraldine to do something with that. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine it. It doesn't make sense to me. Didn't make sense to my pastor. I don't know if y'all, have y'all ever heard of Roger Dale Watkins? Y'all know Brother Roger. He's an evangelist. Some of you do. Okay, well, he was my pastor at Rainsville First Baptist after I graduated high school. I've got a salvation story to tell you all. I got saved when I was 10 years old at that vacation Bible school. Okay, that was a miracle because that's the first time I ever went to church and no one in my family was believers or going to church at that time. I got saved, but then I got away from the Lord when I was a teenager, and at 17, I came back and found Jesus again. I got saved. People ask me, did you get saved when you were 10, or did you get saved when you were 18? I say, yes. So, but whatever it is, I got saved, and God did amazing work in my life, and that was when Roger Dale Watkins was preaching at Rainsville First Baptist, and I remember I got so saved, I was begging God to call me into full-time ministry. I was saying, before God even said go, I was saying, I'll go, I'll go. I was raising my hand. I was saying, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want. And in my mind, I thought that meant to be a preacher like Roger was a preacher and to go around and do those things. And I was ready to go. So never got to peace until one Sunday evening. We had a Navy chaplain to preach at our church at Rainsville. The most boring fella I've ever heard in my life. I don't even remember what he said. I don't remember. All I know is while he was preaching, God spoke to me and said, son, go. And I couldn't wait for him to hurry up and finish so I could go. And he finished, and I almost ran down to the front of the church. And I took Roger's hand. I said, Brother Roger, God's called me to go on foreign mission. God's called me to go be a foreign missionary, and I'm going. And Roger looked at me and said, huh? And I thought to myself, huh? And Roger, and he said, well, Mark, that's good. That's good. That's a good thing. Do you know what that means? And I said, no, sir. I have no idea why I said that. He said, well, if it's the Lord talking, then you need to go. And I said, yes, sir. I'm ready to go. I have no idea what a foreign missionary is, but I'm going to do it. Folks, it's been over 30 years. You know what I am right now? I didn't have a clue what that was. Roger didn't know what it meant for me either. Nobody did, but God did. He had a plan for me. You know what I did right? When God said go, I went. I went, and I was obedient. And then God led me all the way to this, to Japan. And I've been there giving people a chance to hear the gospel. We've started churches in Japan. We're still working on a church plan in Japan. We're working with small Japanese churches that have already been started. We're working with pastors and all kinds of different things. God has given this little boy from Geraldine, Alabama, all kinds of opportunities. The Olympics are coming to Tokyo next year. Did you know that? 2020 Olympics. We're really busy with that because the whole world is wanting to come to Tokyo. But what we see that as is not only is the world coming to Tokyo, the world is focused on Tokyo. So we're asking people to pray, and we're taking advantage of that opportunity. But you know who's leading that? I'm the team leader for all the work that goes on with the International Mission Board in Tokyo in that area. A boy from Geraldine, Alabama. A poor boy from Geraldine, Alabama. From a family that it's broken and weak. And that's who God chose. I'm so honored to be chosen by him. I'm so glad I was faithful and said yes. And I went, and God has put us right here. Go to the next slide. Because he wants us to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. This is a city councilman. I baptized him the week after we had the big earthquake, him and his wife. But God has sent us there to do his work. And it's his work. But let me tell you, it's his work. It's not my work, because you would never use a poor, weak boy like me to get anything done, much less something of this magnitude. But it doesn't depend on me. It's all God's doing. He's the one that called me. He's the one that's doing it. And we've been there for 28 years, and we're going back again in January to continue on the work. And we're more excited now than we've ever been about what God is going to do. Go to the next slide here. But this is where we go, folks. It's crowded. Can you tell? This is home for our kids. Ride these trains to go to school. They go the opposite direction, so it's not quite as crowded as what you see right here, but it's still very crowded. Every day, over an hour by themselves, they go out to go to school. But that's where God has put me. I don't understand it all. Actually, every time we come home discouraged, tired, burned out, thinking maybe God is calling us back here or calling us to something else, but I don't know if I can do this again. Every single time, right before we come back to America, that's what happens. And this time was no different. Right, Mie? We were burned out. We were just dead. But we get back here and we get refreshed. People love on us and pray for us. We find out what the meaning of the church is. And we get into it, and it refreshes us, and God sends us right back out to this. We don't understand it all, but we don't have to. Go to the next slide. We don't have to understand it all, because the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. This has been very true in my life, in every aspect of it. Nobody would have thought Mark Busby's going to go to Japan and do anything. Nobody expected me even to go to college. I've got a miracle about how God sent me to school. I didn't have any money at all. But God made a way. I didn't pass the test. Did you all? I don't know if I should tell this or not. I actually didn't pass. I didn't have the grades to actually go to Northeast Junior College. But by some miracle, I was able to go. Somebody worked something out. And I was able to go. I had no money to go to Northeast Junior Community College. But the people at Rainsville First Baptist, they paid for me to go to there. Out their own pockets, they tutored me and helped me to get there. I went there. Then Brother Roger Watkins, he said, if you're going to go to missions, you need to go to Sanford. I didn't know what Sanford was. I didn't realize it was an expensive school. But Roger said it, so I thought, okay, I'm going to Sanford. And I went down there and I told those folks, God's got a call on me, and I want to follow. I don't understand it all, and I have no money. But I think I should go to school here. What do I need to do? This is the truth, folks. I walked down there to Sanford. I drove down there. But got to Sanford, and I was telling Miss Christopher in the religion department this. And I said, I'm trying to go to Sanford here. I don't understand what I need to do. I have absolutely no money. Didn't even have enough gas to get down there, but God worked that out. But I got down to Sanford, and she said, wait right here. She went in the back and got Dr. Edwards, the head of the religion department, and he came out and he said, Mark, just a couple hours ago, a man walked in here and said, if there's a student that comes in here, says that God's calling them into ministry, and they want to go to school here, but they don't have any money, I'll pay for their first year. No questions asked. He said, Mark, I think you're it. I didn't have any money, but God made a way. When God calls you, He makes a way and does it. It's His work, and He does it. And that's what's been true in my life. And so right here it says, don't lean on your own understanding. We don't have to we don't have to understand it. We just got to be obedient. And you can see that all throughout the scripture as well. The first missionary that is mentioned in the Bible, the one I think is the first missionary, is Abram. Go to the next slide here. You got Abram coming out here. Y'all know the story of Abram. And that's all so small, I can't read it all. Even right here, I don't have my glasses on. It's hard to do with this thing. I can't read it. So I made it bigger for the next slide to just kind of walk through. But the story about Abram's start is in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. And that's where it begins with Abram, the call. And that's where it began for us too. Because God called out a man who was messed up. a man that came from a dysfunctional family like my family. Even worse. Actually, a lot worse. Abram's family, if y'all read Genesis, from Genesis 12 all the way on, especially in chapters 18, 19, about Lot and his group, that whole lot of them, and all of those, they're dysfunctional beyond dysfunctional. It makes the Kardashians look tame. It is a mess, a dysfunctional family. And that's who Lot came from. And you know Lot, I mean not Lot, Abram. And you know Abram himself, he's not much of a person. If you look, he lied. He did all kinds of stuff. But God chose him. God tends to do that. God tends to choose the kind of people that we probably wouldn't choose. God sometimes does things that we can't understand, but we don't have to, because we can lean on our, we don't have to lean on our own understandings. We just have to acknowledge him. So God chose this dysfunctional family, this dysfunctional person to do the greatest work in history. And that's where the story began. Go to the next slide real quick. And we see here, now the Lord said to Abram, what? What do you think it said? Hit it. Go. He told Abram to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I understand that calling, because that's the kind of calling I had. And I can just imagine that when Abram heard that, he went, huh? Just like I did. Just like Brother Roger did. What? But what did he do? He went. This dysfunctional man. God told him to go. He said, pick up all your stuff from all your people and everything that made you comfortable. Where was Abram at that time? He was mid, you know, probably about my age, you know, kind of mid to over. I'm 51 now, so I guess I'm kind of getting over, going to the other side and moving on. But he was even beyond that. He was older. He was established, had a family, settled. They'd already moved once with his daddy all the way up from Ur, all the way up to Haran. Everything's established, ready to go. And then God said, go. So that's who he is, messed up person and all that he was. And he packed up and he went. Go to the next slide. But you see this. God told Abram to go. And God said, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. So that you will be a blessing. So when God told Abram to go, God reminded Abram that he, God himself, was going to do it. God's job was what? To go, to be obedient. He didn't have to understand everything. He didn't have to have everything in place. He just needed to go. That's the only job that Abram had. And that's good, because Abram wasn't that qualified of a person in the first place. Because God's job was to do his mission. God went to work. And God said, I will make you a nation, a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. God works when he calls. And the next slide is, you could see, and God said, I will bless those who bless you and dishonors you. I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And because of Abram's obedience to go, we are blessed. We are all the nations of the earth, all the way through the generations, all the way to Albertville First Baptist. We're blessed. You are here right now because Abram went. Because he was obedient. And that's the first qualification of a missionary, is that you're obedient, even you don't understand it all. I don't know where Miss Karen is, or the other lady that was mentioned here today. I don't know their situation, what's going on. I don't know if there's things that they don't understand or not, but you don't have to understand. You just got to go. Got to be obedient. For some people, that's really hard to do, because God is going to take care of the rest. So we're going back to Japan in January. Not knowing everything, but knowing that God will take care of it and he will do his work. And those that see Abram throughout the Old Testament, throughout Genesis, they see somebody that God's hand is on them. And so they're blessed when they bless him, not because they're blessing Abram, but because Abram is with God. And if you want to be on a good side, you be on God's good side. If you want to get some trouble, you go against God. And God was with Abram, and that's what made him a blessed person. In the next slide that you see here, So what did Abram do? Just to recap, as a missionary, what was the thing that he did? Hit it. He went. That's right. That's exactly what Abram did. He went. It's simple, right? God is simple. And today you may be sitting here thinking to yourself, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. Well, God is not asking you to be. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't understand it. I need to have everything lined up in just the right way. I need to do this, that, and the other. No, you don't. You don't even have to understand it. You just got to acknowledge him and move forward and be obedient. If he could take a boy from Geraldine, Alabama, all the way to Tokyo, Japan, my goodness, what can he do with you? Just think about it. Just being obedient. And then there's so much more I can share with you here today. I'm just going to have to do it in that small group if y'all ask me to come. And I promise you, I'll share all kinds of stories. I'll answer your questions. But today I'm going to just continue on some of the things that I feel that God wanted me to share. Go to the next slide here. And it says, God said, I will, hit it again, make you a great nation. God is in the business of nation building. When God goes to work, one of the first things he always does is build a nation, is build a family, to build a people, because God gets his work done through his people. So God used Abram to start a nation, to get the work done. And nowadays, what is a nation? It's the church. It's you. So God will use you as a church. He may have called Chris or Justin or Don or any of these others to help lead you all and help facilitate this, but at the end of the day, it is the church that gets God's will done. The church is so important. Let me tell you, as somebody who's experienced it in a major way, we were desperate on the field. And Willowbrook Baptist Church came about 12 years ago and then helped pull us from despair. They took us in and loved on us, made a huge difference in our marriage, made a huge difference in our family, and got us back on the field. The church is what God uses to get his will done ultimately. So I encourage you through the church as a church to go and be obedient. As you're electing these deacons this afternoon and as you're in business meeting and doing these kind of things, I pray that you be obedient to whatever God is calling you to do. Just go. You may not understand it all, but just go out in faith and do it. As individuals, God's calling you, just go and do it. Let's just keep moving on real quick because I want to show this point here next here. Is that we see this go again in the New Testament when Jesus addressed the disciples after he had been resurrected from the dead. And let me tell you about these disciples. They were a mess too. It's not just Abram. They were a mess of men. Makes you wonder why Jesus would ever choose them. Because Jesus is standing before them as the resurrected Lord Jesus. He's standing right before them. And what does it say up there? Some of them still doubted him. That's bad. To stand before it. They were with him for 3 years. And still some of them doubted. That's bad. I don't know if you're that bad. But that's the people that God chose. And as he was in front of them, he gave them the commandment to go. And what did they do? They went. And what did God want them to do? Go to the next one. God, hit it again, wanted them to make disciples of all nations. There you go. God wanted to use those disciples to start the church that's going to make disciples of all nations. So you see, when God goes to work, he always uses the church, not just individuals. He uses individuals to work with the church because God's always about nation building. Always. Look at it. Study your Bible and tell me if you can't find that. It's always about building a people. Always working through his people. All throughout the Bible. So you as the church, I encourage you to be obedient, to follow God. And when God says go, go, even if you don't understand it, even if it's scary, whatever he's calling you to, as individuals, but most of all as the church, I ask that of you. I want to lift you up in prayer. I thank you again for the opportunity to stand here and share with you. And I'm so thankful that I could be here and help Chris during his time of need. I want to pray for you as a church, as a people. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless these people, that you help them to be obedient to you in every aspect. As a church, help them to be obedient, even if they don't understand it all. Help them to have faith that can go, even they don't know where they're going. Father God, I pray for the individuals, Miss Karen and the others who are about to step out on a new way and do something new, Father God. Give them the faith that they need. Do it for them, God. Watch over each and every one of them. I love you so much. Thank you for Justin, Chris, Don, all these people who are working together to help the church here, Father God. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.